الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، respected listeners, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you, all of you, once again to our daily studying of the topic of Islamic manners based on the book Min Adab al-Islam, authored by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. If you remember, in the previous discourse and in the previous lesson, the day before yesterday, on Saturday, we were discussing a few points about the manners of visiting someone, a few points and etiquettes in terms of the manners of visiting other people. If you remember, we discussed the importance of keeping appointments, making appointments beforehand, and then also the adab and etiquette of accepting people's apology, or accepting the apology of the host if he is not able to receive you. Also, we talked about how important it is to control our gazes and eyes when we stand in front of people's doors and ensuring that we don't see inside the house. And then we talked about one or two etiquettes about the shoes, that we should put them in an orderly fashion and then clean them before we go into somebody's house if they are dirty. And finally, we talked about making sure that we don't just go into any room and we wait for the host to tell us which room to go in, and in terms of choosing a seat, let the host tell us and command us where to sit in the house. And then he also explained to us that when you stay over night at somebody's house, or even if you go to visit somebody's house, a visitor should not become an inspector. He should not start investigating and inspecting certain things. Now, the Shaykh, the author of this book, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, moves on to explain some other additional further points, and these are all related to visiting other people. In this next etiquette, or in the next point, which is actually point number 12 in this Arabic text that I have, there's two very important messages, two extremely important etiquettes and adab that have been explained. Amazingly important, extremely important. I would read the text first and then translate and then explain, inshallah, as we normally and usually do. The Shaykh in the book, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَتَخَيَّرَ الْوَقْتَ الْمُلَائِمَ لِلزِّيَارَةِ وأن تجلس المدة المناسبة التي تتلاقى مع مقامك عند المزور ومع الحال التي هو عليها، فلا تطل ولا تثقل ولا تأتي في وقت غير ملائم لزيارته، كوقت الطعام أو النوم أو الراحة أو السكون. Two extremely important points, two extremely important etiquettes mentioned in this brief paragraph. What does the Shaykh say? Let's look at the translation. He says, it is appropriate for you that you choose, وَيَنْبَغِي, you should, a person should, you as a visitor should, choose a time that is mulaim, that is appropriate for visitation. So choose an appropriate time to visit someone. And it is also, what you should do is that you should sit in that person's house for a time, for a duration, a mudda, a duration which is appropriate, munasib, which corresponds with your positioning, your status according to the host. Meaning that the time you sit at somebody's house should correspond and should be in accordance with how well you know the host and how well the host knows you. It depends on your relationship. So it should correspond with that. And also correspond with the hal, the circumstance, the situation upon which the host is. Therefore, don't make your visit too long, فَلَا تُطِلْ, and don't make it burdensome. تُثْقِلْ, ثِقْلْ, don't make it a burden on the shoulder of the host. And do not come in a time which is inconvenient to visit your host. فِي وَقْتٍ غَيْرِ مُلَائِمْ لِزِيَارَتِهِ, like the time of eating, sleeping, resting, or relaxing. That's the translation of the text that I have from Min Adab al-Islam. Now, what the Shaykh is trying to explain here, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, something that many of us overlook. Two etiquettes have been mentioned here. Two things have been mentioned here. Number one is that when we go to visit somebody and we visit some people at their house and we visit someone, the timing should be appropriate. We should go at an appropriate time. That's the first point. And the second point, and the second etiquette, is that our duration of our visit, the length of visit, should not be so that it inconveniences the host. These are the two points. Let me explain both of these two etiquettes. What is the first etiquette? When we go to somebody's house, we should go at an appropriate time. Subhanallah, many of us overlook this. We'll just go to somebody's house at any time. First of all, the etiquette before even this is actually to make a phone call. It's actually to make a phone call. Many of us overlook this. It's not part of the adab and good etiquettes and good manners that you don't make a phone call beforehand. So the first etiquette is that if you want to go and visit someone, make a phone call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We hope to visit you. We want to visit you at this time. Are you okay? Are you around at that time? Is it a good time for us to come and visit you? It's not a problem with us. If anytime, you know, we're fine. Don't worry about it. You know, don't make that person feel, you know, make sure that you talk in such a way that you make that person, the host, feel at ease. So first etiquette is to make a phone call. And even if you don't, make a phone call, then we have to ensure that we visit somebody at an appropriate time. This etiquette is extremely important, brothers and sisters. Appropriate time. Some people, honestly, seriously, they just don't have no sense whatsoever. And they just go to somebody's house at any time. Any time, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. The Sheikh is saying here, like the time of eating. So many people come and knock at other people's door. When it's just like, you know, lunchtime in the afternoon, when it's the time, you know that this person should be maybe eating just before Dhuhr or just after Dhuhr Salah. Evening time, we know normally when people eat. You don't go to somebody's house at the time of Iftar, straight after Maghrib, have come for a nice visit. You would have to be insane to do that, seriously. Okay? But I know a lot of people don't do that, but still, it's important that normally, just food times we need to avoid. I remember once, subhanAllah, this was somewhere, without being too specific, there was an imam, and he had just literally offered his Maghrib Salah, and after Maghrib, straight after Farad prayer, he went into his house. Now, this was in Ramadan. Any person with common sense would know, what would he be doing right now, straight after Maghrib? Maybe offering his 2 rak'at sunnah and then nafil and awabin, 6 rak'at, and then in 5-7 minutes, what would he be doing? He would be eating his iftar and food. Literally 7-8 minutes straight after, you know, Maghrib Salah ended, this person probably finished his sunnah in the masjid and came to the Sheikh's door and knocking. So somebody opened the door and said, yes, brother, I need to talk to the Sheikh, I need some advice. Subhanallah, this is a time for iftar. If you don't want to do iftar, let the sheikh do iftar. You know, there's other appropriate times to come. You don't just go to somebody's house at that time. Sheikh is saying here, look, at the time of food, at the time of sleeping, people, 11, 12 o'clock, you go and visit someone. And brothers and sisters, this is not just restricted to visitation, even phone calls. You don't give a call at somebody at 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. Especially those people who have many duties and responsibilities. And unfortunately, many of us, we think, everybody else, we think in the community, okay, we must go at their times. But when it comes to the imams and the ulama and the shuyukh, then people think, oh, they're just sitting for us, nothing. They've got nothing better to do. Anytime you can go. Astaghfirullah. That's the worst thing a person can do. You must take appointment, you must go in their time. And we should be, we as Muslims sometimes, seriously, this, we need to bring back the etiquette of respecting people's times. It's very unfortunate. What happens in our communities, brothers and sisters, is that we fail to respect other people's timings. And Islam says, whatever, you know, whatever the occupation, if it's a doctor, right, we have a doctor. It's an etiquette for me, for you, for all of us, that we go to the surgery in the doctor's time. Don't inconvenience the doctor at his home, at his house. Don't phone him on his house phone. Don't phone him at night. You take an appointment like a normal person, whether you're an imam or a sheikh or whatever, okay? These are principles. If there's a person who's a lawyer, you go in their time. You don't inconvenience them outside their office hours, outside their work hours. Because he's a lawyer and you go. If that lawyer wants to come to a sheikh and an imam, then you go to the sheikh's time. He has a, you know, fixed timings where you can speak to him over the phone or you can talk to him and you can visit him. It's wrong to just stop somebody in the middle of the road or go to somebody's house. Whether he's an alim, whether he's a sheikh, a mufti, a doctor, a lawyer, a solicitor, or barrister, or an engineer, or whatever, a pharmacist, don't disturb people. I know certain people that they don't even keep mobile phones because of people pestering them. Seriously, I know a couple of people in one's a lawyer, one's a solicitor that I know, who doesn't keep a mobile phone, and I don't blame him for it. Because I know. What would happen to him? I can sympathize with him. And I know another pharmacist who doesn't keep a mobile phone as well. I don't know what the reason for that is, but maybe the same reason. But I know a solicitor because you see him in the masjid, you have to come to perform salah or you come to have some advice from a solicitor. It's wrong. You don't approach a solicitor in the masjid. And there's this one brother who works as construction or whatever. And he says, as soon as I go in the masjid, people come and say, I want this done, that done in the masjid. Brothers and sisters, that's wrong, contrary to the teachings of Islam and teachings of the Quran and Sunnah and the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You go to his shop or at his office, at his factory, at his appointed fixed times. Don't approach people in the middle of the road. Don't approach an alim, if an imam of a masjid, if a sheikh has a particular fixed time for you to go and visit, then right in the middle of the road, don't approach them. This is bad etiquette. Oh, I just have one masala, one question, please. This, you make it difficult for people to even come out of their homes. Seriously, you make it difficult for the imams and the shuyukh and the ulama to walk on the streets. Because every time somebody sees you, oh, I remembered something. They've got a fixed time. Go in their fixed times. Everybody has a life to live. Everybody has a family. Everybody has needs. Everybody has, you know, timings. They're human beings, just like we are. So we need to respect their times. Just like we need to respect the times of the doctors, the times of the solicitors, times of whatever profession the person may be in. Okay? This is an extremely important point. Extremely important point. And, you know, as I said, this needs to be extended to mobile phones as well. This needs to be extended to even the mobile phones. Don't call somebody at any time that you think that, yeah, this is, you know, a time that I can call it. I remember once I heard this from one of my teachers. Many of you must have heard of his name, Shaykh Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah, may Allah preserve him. He once was saying that he was once at night in Karachi in Pakistan. At night, he was at home after Isha. He came home and about 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, his family is gone to sleep. He may be just preparing himself to retire to bed. And what happened? About 11:30-ish, somebody called his landline. Now, normally people don't have his landline phone number because, you know, it's... But this must be somebody who might have got hold of his number, or maybe he might know him as well. Maybe somebody who kind of knew him. So somebody phoned. First of all, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, he said that, I thought, what, who's calling me at this time, you know? Maybe something important. So I think somebody else picked it up. His wife or somebody picked the phone up and said, look, somebody said, oh, we need to speak to Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani. It's quite urgent. So he said, okay, his wife gave him the phone. He said to us that, look, I thought that this must be somebody must be undergoing such a big problem. It may be a matter of life and death. Somebody needs an advice on maybe whether to put the life support machine on or off, whether to switch off the life support machine. You know, 12 o'clock at night, somebody is very urgent. We need to speak to Mufti Taqi Uthmani. Somebody may be just taken critically ill into the hospital, and there must be something, you know, extremely urgent. So the Sheikh said that, I came onto the phone, and you know what the question was and what the person asked? He said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you, Sheikh Mufti Sahab? How are you? Everything fine? Alhamdulillah, yes. Oh yeah, there's me speaking, there's a few brothers here. We've been sitting here, there's four or five of us, mashallah. We've been having some coffee, tea. We've been discussing a few things. We've been discussing, you know, the story of the people of the cave. You know, the Ashabul Kahf, Suratul Kahf is all about the people of the cave. You know, those young people, the nine people who went to the cave and they slept for so many years, 309 years. So we've been talking about the people of the cave, and we've been discussing, and we knew that, you know, they had a dog as well, and we were just slightly concerned that we were discussing the name of the dog, what the name of the dog was, what was the dog's name that the people of the cave had. Subhanallah, 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock at night, somebody phoning you and asking you a question like that. So people sometimes, seriously, this is not a made-up story, this actually happened. People lose all sanity. Seriously, I mean, I think this person must be some crazy mad or something. Where's your sense gone? You know, where's your sense of understanding disappeared? Can you call somebody 11:30 at night and ask a question like this? And a big sheikh like that? So this is very important. This is the first important etiquette that our sheikh here is explaining. Timing of our visit. Don't go to somebody's house anytime. First of all, make a phone call and ask them what time is good for me to visit you. And if you don't do that, then make sure you don't go at the time of eating, you don't go at the time of sleeping, you don't go at the time of resting. Or maybe, you know, they've just arrived from journey. Many of us have this problem. Somebody's come back from Umrah, from Hajj, from a long journey. They've just literally, place their foot into the house, and you've got 200 people coming to visit them. Come on, give them a break. Give them a break. Let them relax. Give them at least 5-6 hours to sleep. They're jet lagged. They've come at night. Let them sleep. Tomorrow, visit them tomorrow. But no, what do we want to do? As soon as they come, we're probably waiting outside. You know, we see, wait for the car. Oh, how many bags they've bought. That's all again being nosy, you know, which I talked about a few days ago. How many suitcases and how many bags they've bought, how much gifts they've bought in. A'udhu billah, subhanallah. You know, these things are very, very, very contrary. What can I say? The better way of just saying is contrary to the Islamic teachings. So, do not go and visit someone at inappropriate times. That's the first point. So, in this particular paragraph, I mentioned that the Sheikh is explaining 2 points. So the first one I've explained, which is make sure that our visit, we time our visit and our visit is at an appropriate time. okay? Do not go and visit someone, do not go to somebody's house late at night, at the time of food, at the time of drink, resting, relaxing, or when they've just arrived and returned from a journey, maybe just before Salah. Don't just go just before Salah, you know, just before prayer, things like that. We all know what are the inconvenient times. And the second adab, or the second point explained by the Sheikh, is that when we go to somebody's house, the length of the visit, the duration of the visit, the time that we sit at that person's house should be adequate, should be appropriate, should be reasonable. We shouldn't stay for a long time at somebody's house. We shouldn't inconvenience people. That's the second etiquette. Again here, many of us overlook this. Sometimes we go to somebody's house and we just don't think. We're sitting there from like 5 in the evening, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 4, 5 hours, subhanAllah. They might want to eat. They might want to go somewhere. You've just literally gone to somebody's house and they were just about to leave. They were just about to leave. If you realize that they were just about to leave and they were getting ready, then you straight away say, astaghfirullah, no, I'm not coming, I'll come another time. But no, some of us just don't think. It's okay, I've come, I've walked all the way. They'll leave in about half an hour, it's okay. Seriously, these are etiquettes that we need to bring in our lives, brothers and sisters. So even the duration, the time limit of our visit, the mudda, should be appropriate and reasonable. We should not sit too long at somebody's house. But the Sheikh explained here that this will depend on how well you know your host. How well you know them. Sometimes you are very informal with some people. Then it depends. You yourself, your heart will tell you how long your visit should be. Your heart, your own heart, your own natural instinct will guide you as to what is a reasonable time for your visit and what is going beyond that reasonable amount, what is too long. Okay? But just use your common sense. Make sure if you're thinking, some people seriously don't think at all, the inconvenience of the people, honestly, seriously. They just sit. And many a time, unfortunately we have to say, but sometimes this is more so with the sisters than brothers. You just go to somebody's house and just sit. People have things to do, people have needs to attend to, people may need to eat, they may need to drink. Sometimes, you know, people, the host actually give, try to, you know, hint to you, but we still don't get the message. Oh yeah, inshallah my husband's coming now and we need to eat and inshallah the children. Get the message, but we still don't get the message. Seriously, some people are so insensitive that they just don't even get the message that the host is hinting to you that please, you know, go now. You know, you've sat here for us for a long time, you need to leave now because we have things to do. So anyway, this is the second point. We shouldn't think that, look, no, they won't mind. Don't ever think that. That's the worst mistake a person can commit. To think that, oh, they don't mind that I go anytime. Because that's only what we are presuming and assuming. The Sheikh actually explained this in an etiquette a few pages ago, if you remember. It was relating to something else, but he explained that don't assume and presume things. That's the worst mistake a person can do and make and commit. Assuming and presuming. Thinking, oh, they won't mind, you know, if any time I go, they don't mind me sitting here. No, never, ever assume. Never assume. Because you could be completely wrong in your assumption and in your understanding. And you know, you would be inconveniencing the other people and you'll be inconveniencing the host. So, this was the second etiquette which was explained, and I added a further point which was that don't stop, and also not to stop someone on the middle of the road, especially if they are in a hurry. That's another point as well here. If somebody is walking in a hurry, don't stop them in the middle of the road and start talking to them. Especially ulama and shuyukh. This is a very, very important etiquette. You see an alim, a shaykh, an imam, and he's walking, he needs to, sometimes, you know, he's just sitting in his car or coming out of the car or his... The problem with so many ulama, and me, I'm not an alim, I'm just a student of knowledge, brothers and sisters, but if I have a problem, then how much problem will the ulama would be going through? I'm just a student of knowledge, but me, I mean, I fear sometimes even going to a shop, because I'll go to the shop and the shopkeeper will start asking me a question. I must at a supermarket and I just cannot go. And sometimes, you know, I have to tell my family that, look, we'll have to go shopping outside Leicester or some other place. But even there, sometimes, like, you know, people recognize you. But seriously, it's a problem. I remember once I went to a supermarket, like a supermarket, and I ended up answering six people's questions. Seriously, six people's questions in the supermarket. I don't know which, I won't mention the supermarket's name. And sometimes people, you tell them you're walking in a hurry in the middle of the road and you need to go somewhere, and somebody says, "Assalamu alaikum, I just need to ask you one thing. I'm really in a hurry, please." You know, it won't take too long. It's just a few seconds. And it takes 10 minutes. So these, sometimes you tell people, "Sorry, I cannot, please, I'm really in a hurry." No, it's okay, I just need to, no, I'm in a hurry, please, I need to go. No, it's okay, it's just a few minutes, it's just small. SubhanAllah, you know, insisting, persisting, pressurizing somebody else to talk to you, these are all unlawful acts, sinful, haram acts. No matter how much salah, prayer, sawm, fasting, zakat, hajj, umrah, i'tikaf, we do taraweeh, but if we harm people, then we are committing major sins. All our rewards go away, brothers and sisters. These are the central teachings of our deen and sharia. So please, you know, keep this in mind and give it due importance. So these were the two points that the sheikh explained. Make sure the timing of your visit is appropriate. Number two, the length and the duration of the visit should be reasonable. And number three, which I added, was that don't stop anyone in the middle of the road and start talking to them, especially when they are in a hurry. You know, see people at their fixed times. Don't catch the plumber in the masjid. Don't catch the solicitor in the masjid. Don't grab the sheikh and the alim, you know, when he's in the middle of the road or in the shop. Don't grab the doctor in the masjid. Phone people, go at and visit people at their office, at their place of functioning and work, in the appropriate times and the designated times. This is the sign of a Muslim who is practicing on the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Moving on, the Shaykh then explains this more further, and he says, and as an endorsement and support, he says,
قال الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه الأذكار في أواخر باب في مسائل تتفرع على السلام. يستحب للمسلم استحبابا متأكدا زيارة الصالحين والإخوان والجيران والأصدقاء والأقارب وإكرامهم وبرهم وصلتهم، وضبط ذلك يختلف باختلاف أحوالهم ومراتبهم وفراغهم، وينبغي أن تكون زيارته لهم على وجه لا يكرهونه وفي وقت يرتضونه، والأحاديث والآثار في هذا كثيرة مشهورة.
The Shaykh, the author of this book, rahimahullah, he's trying to support what he's just explained by a quote of the great Imam of this Ummah, the great Muhaddith, the great scholar of Hadith, and the great Alim, and the great Faqih, the great jurist of the Shafi'i Madhab, Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, wa rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allah have mercy on him. I think I talked about him previously, but Imam Al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, is a great Shafi'i jurist, a great Shafi'i jurist. He has many books in the Shafi'i Madhab of relating to Islamic jurisprudence, and he's a great commentator, a muhaddith, a scholar of Hadith. He has written a commentary on the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Anyway, so Imam Nawawi says in another book of his, in his book Al-Adhkar, Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, Imam Nawawi, he has this book called Al-Adhkar. Al-Adhkar, plural of dhikr. Dhikr in Arabic, you know what dhikr is. Al-Adhkar. So this book is a book in which he has gathered all the various different types of adhkar, and du'as and supplications, various type of supplications that he's gathered. It's a very good book, and we should all have this book. I think it's been translated into English, partially, definitely so. I'm not sure if it's completely been translated, but these are all du'as that have been gathered. And Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, you know, he did a wonderful job in that book, Al-Adhkar of Imam Nawawi. So in that book, towards the end of the chapter regarding salam, babun fi masail tatafarra'u ala salam, regarding the issues and the masail of greeting and salam, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says the following. What does he say? This is the translation, word to word, of what he says. It is mustahab, it is recommended for a Muslim, greatly recommended, to visit the pious people, to visit his brothers, to visit his relatives, to visit his friends, It is recommended for a Muslim, greatly recommended, to visit the righteous people, to visit brothers, to visit neighbors, to visit friends, to visit relatives, and not just to visit them, but to honor them, to be kind to them, and to maintain ties with them. It's recommended for a Muslim to do that. However, the extent of this visit will vary according to the variation in the circumstances, meaning how much should you visit them and how long you should visit them. This will vary, this will change based on their circumstances and their levels and their times and their free time. And it is appropriate that your visit of them should be in a way that they just don't dislike. Don't visit them so much that they start disliking your visit. And it should be in a time that they like, they are happy with. And the ahadith, the sayings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the reports, athar, in this regard are many and they are mashhur, they are known. This is what Imam Nawawi rahimahullahu subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So that's the end of this point, which was a very brief point, brief etiquette. The importance of visiting people at their at appropriate times and not sitting at their house for too long. Then the Sheikh moves on to the next point, next etiquette. What is the next etiquette? He says, إِذَا تَحَدَّثْتَ عِنْدَ مَنْ تَزُورُهُ فَلَا تَتَحَدَّثْ إِلَّا بِمَا يُنَاسِبُ الْمَقَامَ مَعَ الْإِجَازِ وَإِذَا كُنْتَ صَغِيرَ الْقَوْمِ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ فَلَا تَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا إِجَابَةً عَنْ سُؤَالٍ يُوَجَّهُ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ أَحَدِ الْجَالِسِينَ أَوْ إِلَّا إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ حَدِيثَكَ كلامك سيقع منهم في موقعه ويسرهم ويرضيهم ولا تسهب في الحديث ولا تغفل عن أدب المقام في هيئة جلوسك وأسلوبك وأسلوب كلامك وخطابك. Just a few lines, a small etiquette but amazing. Again, this is so important, subhanAllah, so relevant. These things are so relevant, so relevant. The Sheikh says that, look, when you talk to and when you have a conversation with the person whom you are visiting. Now, we've gone into the house and we're sitting and talking. This is a small etiquette about conversation with respect, especially having a conversation with somebody senior to you, somebody elderly, somebody more knowledgeable, more pious, elderly and more older than you. So the Sheikh is saying that if you have a conversation and if you happen to speak with somebody who you are visiting, first of all, the adab of speaking is that do not speak and do not talk about anything except that which is appropriate for the time, with conciseness, with briefness, and with simplicity and shortness, ijaz. So what is the Sheikh explaining here? He says that, look, when you go to somebody's house and when you have a conversation, first of all, don't start talking about inappropriate things. Talk about something that's appropriate. Don't embarrass the person with your conversation. Don't ridicule him. Don't say something that might put him into inconvenience. Talk about something that's relevant. Your conversation should be relevant. مَا يُنَاسِبُ الْمَقَامِ, that which is appropriate for this time. Use your common sense and talk about sense, matters of sense. Don't start talking about, what you had, for breakfast 3 days ago and how much salt there was in the food or something like that. Don't start talking about some absolutely irrelevant conversation. And especially don't embarrass that person. Don't start telling him that how dirty his house is, for example. So talk about things that are relevant, okay? And then the Sheikh says, and when you are, and if you are the youngest of the people sitting in that gathering. إذا كنت صغير القوم. If you are in a gathering and there are elderly people, there's your uncle there, your father's there, your grandfather may be there, your teacher may be there, if it's sister, then your mother's there, your auntie's there, your teacher's there maybe. You have like many people, elderly people. Then, and especially if you are young and you're the youngest one there, or one of the young people, then don't talk except answering a question. Don't start giving a lecture there. Seriously, some young people need to learn this etiquette. This is an etiquette when visiting a senior. When you go to see an alim, when you go to see a sheikh, when you go to see your uncle, when you go and see somebody respectable in the community, then don't start lecturing them. Just answer a question if you are... Do not speak except by answering a question that is directed towards you from one of the attendees. أحد الجالسين. Or if you know that your conversation, your kalam, your speaking, what you say will actually be of importance to those sitting around you. But with respect, سَيَقَعُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَوْقِعِهِ. You will use your words in the right context, and you know that what you will say will actually be appreciated by them, and they will benefit from it, then only then speak. So the Sheikh is saying here that, look, when you go in a gathering, when you are sitting, when there's more senior people to you, then ensure that you don't speak unless you're answering a question, or you... present your point and you say something only if you think that the people around you, the senior people to you, they will appreciate what you've said. It's of something of great benefit. And they will be impressed by your conversation. Only speak then. So you should only speak in two situations. Number one, if you've been asked a question, so you're answering the question, or if you really know and you are sure that yes, you can make a good contribution to the discussion, you've said something. وَيَسُرُّهُمْ وَيُرْضِيهِمْ. It will please them, it will make them happy. You know that it will make them happy what you've said. And this is very important. وَلَا تُسْهِبْ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. وَلَا تُسْهِبْ أَسْهَبَ يُسْهِبُ. Do not prolong your conversation. Don't start lecturing someone. And seriously, some young people need to learn this. Sometimes students, I am telling you, subhanAllah, some students, remember, a student is always a student. A student to a teacher is always a student. No matter if you become 20, 24, 27, 29, 30, 40. No matter even if you have so much knowledge that you've learned, a student always remains a student. Don't start talking with your teacher that you're teaching him. SubhanAllah, sometimes, seriously, you will go down in the estimation of your teacher. Even if you are discussing something, the way you should be asking, like, you know, the way you should be talking, even if you're telling your teacher something, the way your conversation should be that, you know, it should be absolutely in a humble way, in an absolute humble manner. Don't start lecturing your teacher. Likewise, your parents, your father, don't start talking to him as though you're the father and he's the son. Don't speak to your mom that you've become the mother and she's become your daughter. Speak to them with humbleness, with humility, with calmness, with less words. Seriously, these are the etiquettes of our deen, brothers and sisters. And even the way we sit, the final line the Shaykh says here, وَلَا تَغْفُلْ عَنْ أَدَبِ الْمَقَامِ فِي هَيْئَةِ جُلُوسِكَ. Do not overlook. لَا تَغْفُلْ غَفْلَ. Do not become heedless. Do not overlook. Do not neglect the adab of the situation in terms of the manner of your sitting. Even the way we sit. These are etiquettes of Islam, brothers and sisters. How did, you know, the famous hadith of Jibra'il? The angel Jibra'il came, and the way he sat right directly in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like the way we sit in tashahud salah, in tashahud, in prayer. That's a sitting of respect. So when we sit in a gathering, and there are many people there, there are elder people there are people senior to us. So even the way we sit, we shouldn't start, you know, making ourselves absolutely, totally comfortable, relaxing, you know, spreading our legs. These are the etiquettes young people need to be taught from a young age. The way you sit. And the أسلوب كلامك وخطابك. Don't forget the adab in terms of the manner you talk, the manner in which you talk, and the manner in which you address people. When you address khitab, you know, when you address as well, when you speak to somebody, you know, when somebody elder to you, like the Arabs. I mean, subhanAllah, some of the Arabs are very good in this. I stayed quite a bit of time in Syria, and then I visited quite a few Arab countries like Yemen and Egypt and Lebanon and some other countries as well. I've seen young people, subhanAllah, I used to know so many Syrian families with children, you know, small children as young as 4, 5, 6. You'll be shocked at their adab. I remember one of the sheikhs that I used to study by, I used to go to his house. He's got a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old daughter, subhanAllah. She used to come at the door, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. She used to speak in Arabic, ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban, kayfa halukum. She used to say, how are you? Come in, welcome. She used to open the door, 6-year-old daughter, open the door. My father, she used to call her father, Baba. Baba is folk, he's coming, inshallah, he's doing wudu, inshallah, he's getting ready, and then he's coming. Don't worry, relax, feel at home. She used to say all that, 6-year-old daughter. You know, relax, sit here, inshallah. Sit on the top sofa, relax. Do you want me to get you anything? Shall I bring you some water? 6-year-old daughter, seriously, I'm not joking, brothers and sisters. And then she used to sit down, like, with proper adab and etiquette. And when the father used to come, she'd stand up, and then she says, Father, you know, they're here now, inshallah. And then these are the etiquettes that young people need to be taught from a young age, brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, we live in an adabless society. We are young people. They've lost adab and etiquette. And sometimes there's no one to blame except our own selves, the parents. فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Because we have not taught them adab. And then if we don't have adab in our lives, with our parents, with our elders, then how will our young people learn the adab and etiquette from us? We need to practice these etiquettes first, because they learn. Young people do not learn from what we say, they learn from what we do. They look at our practice. So anyway, this is what the Sheikh was briefly explaining here. And then I move on to the next point, which is the final point, inshallah, because I think we have around, subhanAllah, about 10 odd minutes left for iftar. So this will be the final etiquette, and it's a brief point. He says, إذا دخلت إلى مجلس فابدأ بالسلام على من فيه جميعا وإذا أردت المصافحة لمن فيه فابدأ بالأفضل أو الأعلم أو الأتقى أو الأكبر أو نحو هذا من الصفات المكرمة شرعا ولا تبدأ بأول من تراه في أول الصف ولو كان من جهة اليمين إذا كان مفضولا وتدع الفاضل أو الأفضل فإنما يبدأ بصاحب وصف يفضل به الحاضرين فإن لم تعرف فيه أفضلهم أو تساووا بالفضل فابدأ بأكبرهم فإن هذا لا يخفى شأنه غالبا وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كبر كبر وفي رواية كبر الكبرى في السن رواه البخاري ومسلم وابدأوا بالكبراء أو قال بالأكابر رواه أبو يعلى والطبراني في الأوسط. A small etiquette here, which is the etiquette of, again, respecting the elderly people, the respectable people, the people of good qualities, senior people, your parents, your teachers. It's connected to that. And actually, there's another etiquette which is coming after this, and then the Sheikh actually dedicates 3 pages about respecting the elders and the people of good qualities, and that's like 3-4 pages which we will discuss in detail. So I won't go into too much details here, because that is coming after the next etiquette. But the point here which the Sheikh explains is that, look, when you enter a gathering, when you are sitting in a majlis, when you are at somebody's house, there are people sitting there, okay, begin with salam ala man fihi jami'an, by greeting all of the people who are there present. So for example, you've gone to somebody's house and you've gone into the front room and there's already 7, 8, 10 people already sitting there. So you should go into the room and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And make an intention, niyyah, with Assalamu alaikum to all the people, ala man fihi jami'an. And if they are all sitting and you want to do musafaha, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْمُصَافَحَةَ, and if you intend to shake hands, you want to do musafaha to all the people there. Now, what is the etiquette? Sometimes we, some of us know this, some of us don't know this. When we do musafaha, we want to go and shake hands with everybody. Who should we start with? As soon as we enter the door, the living room, and there's about 8-10 people sitting in the room, there's ulama there, there's your elderly people there, there's your uncle there, your dad's there, your father's. There's different people there. Who should you go and greet first? Should you go and start as soon as you enter the first place on your left and then go from the left? Or should you go from the right? Or should you start in a different way? The Shaykh has explained this in great detail. As I said, after the next point, in the 3-4 pages, this is the main point which he is trying to drive home. That normally things are done from the right, but the sunnah and the teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when you, the starting on the right is only when everybody's equal. This is actually what he's explaining in the next 3-4 pages. He goes into extreme detail to explain that point, because some people don't agree with this. In his time as well, some of those who lived in Saudi Arabia did not agree with him. They said, look, the hadith indicate that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every time you should start from the right. Okay, so if you, for example, when you meet someone, do salam, you start with the first person on your right, and then you move on all the way to the left. When you bring tea into the room, you know, you start from the person on the right, and then you move on. But the Shaykh, this Shaykh, who is an Arab himself, Shaykh Abdul Fattah ibn Ghudda rahimahullah, he is explaining in detail later on, and he is providing evidences that this starting from the right is only when everybody is equal. But if you have classes and differences between, like, you go in the room, your father sitting there, okay, and you have your brother sitting there, and you have some other people, young people, there's all this, okay, just imagine, you go into a room and you have all your friends, everybody's in their mid-20s, 22, 23, your brother, your young friends, and your father's also sitting there, and your uncle's there, or your father's just there. Now, not everybody's equal, your father has a higher status than all these people, so if you bring tea, you should first go to your father and give it to him, and then move on from his right. Do you understand? Move on from his right. So this is how, when you come into a room, even if you want to do salam and do musafaha and shake hands, you don't go and start, you definitely not start on the left. That's like out of the question. But you don't even start on the right. You go and do musafaha and shake hands with the most prominent person in that gathering. If there's a big alim, big sheikh has come there, you go to him and you say, assalamu alaikum, you shake hands. And then you move on to his right, the person sitting on his right, and then you go in line. Okay? If everybody's equal, then you start from the right. This is what the Shaykh is explaining in this particular etiquette about greeting a group of people. Who should you start with when you greet? When there's a group of people sitting, who should you start with first in terms of shaking hands, in terms of giving water, in terms of giving tea, in terms of whatever, honoring them. So he says, if you intend to shake hands with the people sitting in that gathering, start with the bil afdali, the most prominent, or the most knowledgeable, or the most pious, or the eldest, or similar kind of qualities, noble Islamic qualities that have been found. So if you have somebody who's the most knowledgeable there, you start with him, or the most pious, or the most elderly, or the most prominent. Remember, he didn't say the most richest, okay, because having a lot of money and richness is not a quality because of which you respect someone in Islam. And then he says, do not start with the first person you see in the first row, even if he's on the right hand side, if he is mafdulan, if he has less status, and you leave the more distinguished and the prominent people. Don't do that. Don't start on the right and leave the more prominent person. Because in Islam, you start with bisahibi wasfin, with the person who has this higher status, this higher quality, with which he has a higher level than the other people sitting there. Somebody might say that, look, I don't know. I wouldn't know who is higher and who is lower. Because we've just learned that in Sharia, there is great importance in showing respect to the people with good, noble Islamic qualities, like knowledge, like piety, like age, like other good qualities. You know, somebody is generous, somebody is pious, somebody is wise, somebody has a lot of knowledge, somebody has a lot of taqwa, somebody is elderly, senior to you. So you respect all these qualities, and not money, of course. But somebody says that, look, if I go into a room and there's 10 people, I don't have a clue, I don't know who's more knowledgeable, or who's more pious, or who's more elderly. If you don't know the afdaluhum, I don't know who's more pious, more knowledgeable. Then the Shaykh says, or they are all equal in status, then start with the elderly. If they are all equal in piety, knowledge, wisdom, etc., or you don't know, then start with the more elderly one. Okay? And then he says, because this is normally not hidden from people. More or less, you do know who is the eldest sitting there. More or less. Okay, that's not something that's hidden. And if you don't even know that, and if everybody is like same age, then you start from the right. Because when we said earlier, before, that when everybody is equal, that's when the ruling comes of starting from the right-hand side. And then he finishes off, he says, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying about, you know, starting with the elderly, because this is not normally hidden from people. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, kabbir, kabbir, this hadith is coming, you know, there were two brothers, and he said, the elder one should start talking. This is a hadith narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, and he said, start with the elder, you know, bil akabir. Rawahu Abu Ya'la wa Tabarani fil Awsat. Imam Abu Ya'la and Imam Tabarani both have recorded this hadith. Inshallah, with this we come to the end of the point. Alhamdulillah, we've learned quite a few things today. Tomorrow, inshallah, we've got one etiquette very important about eavesdropping. Don't sit between two people, don't overhear two people, and when two people are having a private conversation, don't start listening to the conversation. And then after that, we move on to the respect of elders and the people of noble quality, which inshallah we'll go into quite detail. So tomorrow, 6:30, I will see you once again, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. The time of iftar is fast approaching. I think there's about 1 minute left. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلِّمُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ